Amen. Please open in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. I want to minister on the subject, dark sayings. And if you will put your finger on 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, and then if you would be so kind as to go back in the Old Testament to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. This morning our Sunday school lesson was dealing with a episode that took place where Miriam and Aaron came against Moses and accusing him of some things they ought not to have stuck their nose into. When God commanded that they show up at the tabernacle, God had some things to say. It is one of those things that God said that has, I hope and pray, will draw your attention. It is found in Numbers, the 12th chapter, and we'll begin at verse 7. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and notice this, not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold, wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? I don't want to get lost in the story. I want to pick up something God said that when he communicated with Moses, he did it face to face. But he said to the others, to the prophets, he spoke to them by dreams and visions and dark sayings. Let's look at that. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. In Psalms, David makes mention when he played the harp, he thought about the dark speeches. If you're listening to this recording and you're wondering why there is a space, it's because I'm now hooking up. Okay. I want you now, if you would be so kind, to turn now to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to be addressing something I believe we can all identify with. How many have ever had a dream? You really believe the dream was from the Lord, but you weren't sure what the dream meant. Anybody ever here? Have you ever had where you felt God was talking to you, but you didn't know what he was saying? That fits in the category of dark sayings. And I want to address that today, these dark sayings. And we'll look at it from a biblical viewpoint. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, before we read that, we are all familiar with that passage of Scripture where Jesus is teaching about seeking the Lord when he says, ask, seek, and knock. Each word teaching a different level of intensity as you are seeking the Lord. Ask. But seeking has gone beyond the asking. Knock is going beyond the seeking. But we come to Peter, and Peter is writing, and he is addressing, and he's indicating the effort that the prophets put themselves into to hear from God, to write what you and I read. So I want us to see, because he mentions three levels of their intensity as they were trying to make sense of God, what are you saying? We have the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah, and the list goes on. And each of them would get a revelation from the Lord to some degree. And they were trying to make sense of what is God saying of this one coming. But let us read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 through 12. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired, searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified before the hand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels to look into. But I want you to see that Peter has a respect and a reverence for these prophets, that they were aware that God is dealing with our salvation. But Peter is aware of these prophets, of how they inquired, and he says they're searching diligently. They're trying to make sense of what God is saying. Now, as we went over a little bit ago, when Miriam and Aaron had a bout with Moses, and it was God that was letting them know that Moses is far superior in spirituality when it comes to hearing from me. But he says, but the other prophets, I speak to them by dreams and by dark sayings. That word dark sayings is a word that is C-H-I-Y-D-A-H. That word, dark sayings, is used 18 times in the Old Testament. Samson used dark sayings. They're called riddles. Now, it says in the last days that one of the ways God would communicate is through dreams. Let's turn to that, to Acts, because here is how God has chosen to speak. And it says in Acts chapter 2, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, verse 17 of chapter 2 of Acts, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I want to repeat, how many have ever had a dream? You were pretty convinced it wasn't because you had too much pizza or whatever that chemically could have affected a weird dream or some medication you were on. You really felt that God was trying to talk to you, but you didn't understand what it meant. I would put that in the category of dark sayings. Daniel When you look back, and Peter is recognizing the effort that the prophets searched diligently to make sense of what God was saying. Because often when God spoke, it was a dark saying. Take, for instance, Daniel. Daniel himself says on different occasions that when he had a vision from the Lord, he didn't know what it meant. He was puzzled. Sometimes it left Daniel weak. Sometimes it left Daniel just said, I understood not. And then another angel would come. Or Daniel would continue to seek. And then another messenger would come. And it would begin to give understanding to Daniel on the meaning of the vision, whether it be an animal that had a horn, or whether, you know, we talk about the first four Gospels of how Matthew is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and then Mark is the servant, and that was often God would speak through symbolism and would give in the dream a bull or an ox or a calf that represented the servant. And then Luke would be a figure of a man, the Son of Man. And then John was an eagle. And often God spoke through symbolism. And the eagle is in the book of St. John that flies everywhere. But here, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But back to Daniel and to these other prophets, God often spoke in dark sayings. And they would get it and Lord, what does this mean? And there's times when I'm sure in your life that you, not trying to be overdo it or read something into something that shouldn't be read into it, but there is, you sense that I believe God's trying to tell me something. And you're not quite sure what it is. It could be speaking to you in dark sayings. And in Peter recognizes they wanted to know three things. What or what manner of time? When is this going to happen? And number two, to whom it's going to be revealed? They wanted to know what manner of time and to whom it will be revealed and where. And because desire in these prophets to know the what and the who and the where, we find that Peter gives three descriptions of them inquiring the Lord of these dark sayings. As I mentioned, 18 times that word is used. How many know the Bible, Paul deals with this in a way when he says we see through a glass darkly. And we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Daniel received the revelation of Christ. And even a king received these visions and understood not what it was. And that was Joseph. The king would get a dream, but he didn't understand what it meant. And Joseph had to seek the Lord for this dark saying. And Daniel was often left weak. So Peter uses three different words to teach and to clarify the intensity in which they sought God. The first one is, he says, they inquired. I want to talk about those times when you feel that God is talking to you and you're not quite sure what he's saying. But Peter says the prophets went through this. And he said, number one, they inquired. Let's go back to Peter. How many want to be able to hear from God better? All right, let's go home. 1 Peter. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired. What is the meaning of that word inquired? That same word is used in Luke chapter 11. Please look at Luke chapter 11 and verse 50. This same word is used because this ought to help prompt us if we're going to understand God and make sense of some of these things, then we must do what these prophets did. It just didn't come. They inquired. And that same word, inquired, is the same word that is found in Luke, the 11th chapter, and verse 50. That the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. Well, Pastor, that doesn't... Where do you get inquired? He's talking about they went over every one of them. But perhaps a better understanding is found in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, we're going to find that word inquired again. May we learn from these prophets. Acts 15 and verse 17, it says that the residue of men might seek after the Lord. That seek after the Lord is the same word that is translated inquired. I hope you're seeking after the Lord. And then it's also found in Hebrews chapter 11, that chapter of faith. Hebrews. I want to know how I'm to seek Him. Because seeking Him has part of making sense of the dark sayings. Hebrews chapter 11, that word where Peter says they inquired, well, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's what the prophets were doing when it said they inquired. The meaning is they were diligently. It's one thing to get something from God. It's another thing to seek Him diligently for the meaning and the understanding. To search diligently means a detailed scrutiny. Another word that Peter uses in describing the intensity in which they sought the Lord, this word is found in St. John chapter 5 and verse 39. It's the story of Jesus talking to the woman at the well. But in St. John 5, 39, Jesus, although not... Speaking to them, excuse me, that was chapter 4. But Jesus, here is the word that Peter used when he is talking about the prophets to try to make sense of what God was saying. Jesus said in St. John 5:39, "Search the Scriptures." Now he's talking to people that thought they were saved because they could quote or understand, and Jesus was saying, that's not what gets you saved, just knowing it or knowing the Scriptures. They really point to me. I'm the one that saves you. But what Jesus was saying was, search the Scriptures. And the meaning is one of, come on, put your heart into it and search them. Apparently, they were not searching them the right way. And the other time this word is used that Peter refers to is found in Revelation chapter 2. Let's take a look at that. Revelation chapter 2, because I want to ask you, how are you dealing with those dark sayings? How is your intensity when it comes to seeking God? In Revelation chapter 2, here, I lost the particular one, but God says in here that he's talking about this church, and he says, I search their hearts and the reins. But it's there in chapter 2. Peter is respecting and understanding the intensity that the prophets, they just didn't sit down and God give it to them. Yes, he gave it to him, but Peter is emphasizing the dedication that the prophets went through to make sense of what God was trying to talk to them. Perhaps the intensity that he is referring to, I would use the illustration of a mother who realizes your child is missing. All of us could quickly identify you wouldn't eat or sleep or do anything until you knew where that child was. Well, all of the horrible things we hear, I don't think you're jumping to conclusions if you're just saying, where are they? This is not normal. And a mother would begin to search diligently. And that is the intensity that Peter is trying to say, that when it comes to hearing from God, it's just as important as if your child were missing. If God's trying to talk to you, how many know that we should not take it lightly, but to seek, and an intensity and a passion that is there? It can take more effort to seek God for the meaning of something than it did for the effort to hear it in the first place. Both are necessary. Do you know when people often quote Romans and when they're trying to show the fallen nature of mankind, they point out what is correct. But isn't it interesting what is emphasized is there are none righteous. How many know there's none righteous? No, not one. But right alongside of God making his complaint against humanity when he says there are none righteous, equal to being unrighteous is the next words that God has a complaint against the fallen nature. And it is this: there are none that seeketh after me. Now, we don't think that seeking after God, failing to seek after God, is equivalent to not being righteous. But God does. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 11. It says in verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And we're real good at pointing humanity's fall from the garden of missing the mark and breaking God's law, that yes, there are none righteous, no, not one. But there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. And God thinks it's really important. Now, why does God choose to use this form of communication, of dark saying? Dark sayings are designed to keep us praying, to keep us in the game. Last week I mentioned Jacob, who wrestled with an angel who there's no way that angel couldn't beat Jacob. But as I mentioned, the angel was wrestling to the degree where he knew Jacob had to do his best to keep the angel from really wiping him out. And as long as Jacob is doing his best, the angel let him keep on wrestling. And then when he put his leg out hollow, and now he's wrestling weaker, but how come the angel can't beat him? Because the purpose wasn't to do that, was to pull out of Jacob his trying, his doing his best to keep him in the game. And sometimes God will begin to talk to you in a way to keep you seeking him, to keep working on that fellowship and relationship, to keep you in the game. In his time and in his wisdom, I am not saying, if you'll seek him and seek him and seek him, you can outdo God and make him talk. You know, say uncle. That ain't going to happen. Don't think you can outmaneuver God. But he will, as he said, communicate to us in ways that are dark sayings, hard to understand, but to keep you, I pray that you're still interested, that you're still seeking after the Lord. And as Jacob, keeping him in the game. Isn't it beautiful? God is looking for people to seek him. Not to be ridiculous, but to seek him. I've referred to, and I love the story of Moses. God put a bush on fire. Something unusual. It's a dark saying, if I may put it in that category. He doesn't understand why that bush is not being consumed. But he turned aside to see. It's a continuation of the seeking. And when God saw that he turned aside, then further revelation came. Are you turning aside? Are you pursuing when the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? I have had, but before I get to this, there's another reason, and I'm sure there are many. But sometimes God will hide something from you. As in the case of the prophet Elisha. People think a prophet can just know anything he wants to. No, he only knows what God shows him. But Elisha, early in his career, he had a woman that was very good to him. And in repaying her for her faithfulness, he told her she was going to have a child. And she said at the time, don't you go messing with me, prophet. Don't you go get my hopes up, because that's what we've wanted. In fact, the prophet sent, he's like, go find out what they need. And he came back and said, they don't have a child. So Elisha said to her, you're going to get to have a child. She said, don't you go messing with me, because you know I really want one really bad. And he said, you're going to have a child. And she had that child. And now the child gets a headache and dies. And she saddles up and she heads to go see the man of God. And on her way there, she's asked the question, is it well? And Elisha sent his servant to, he said, here comes the woman. And here's what Elisha said, the Lord hath hid it from me. I know there's something wrong, but the Lord has hid it from me. Had Elisha known, had he knew what it was that she was coming about, it would have affected her in a different way. Because when she was asked, how are you? She said, it is well. And it was birthing in her. You know she had to be grieving over her child that died. She's got to be grieving. But at the same time, when she's coming back to the man of God, and he asks, well, what's wrong? If he had said he knew what wrong, it would have affected her position that she was taking and her faith. And with faith, she rose up and said, it is well. And there are reasons why God does hide things from us. And in his wisdom and his time, he does reveal them to us. I remember I asked the church to pray for me years ago when I was pastoring in White Salmon. I've shared with you, I had a series of dreams. And in these dreams, I was on a river, had a fishing pole, And off in the distance, I could see and I'd hooked into something. That's the first dream. The second dream, the line is tight. And I knew these dreams were from God, but I didn't know what they meant. The dark saying. The next dream, I see the whale at a distance. And I think, wow, that's a big fish. And then I had the dream that I'm fishing, but it's not. I'm on the hillside. I'm on a pier. And I'm catching fish. And the fish are the size of people. They had fish bodies with people heads. And I knew what that one meant. For some reason, I had the understanding of it where I didn't have the understanding of the other ones. And that was, I knew that God was going to send into the church 4 or 5 new different families. And sure enough, that following Sunday, that happened. But then, now I have the dream again. And this time, the whale, I see it. And I was having these dreams over and over. And I just, oh, Lord, what does it mean? What is the whale? Is it my father? Is it this? Is it this? And I didn't know. But I knew it was God. And I actually went before the church. And I asked for your prayers. That as I'm seeking the Lord, He may give me understanding. How many know it's good to get other people helping you pray? And I requested prayer. I said, I'm asking you to pray with me that I will understand what this means. Well, it wasn't long when God began to make it understandable. It was referring to my father, for he started coming at that time and walking in and coming into the back of the church, and he'd weep. His mama's bringing him into church, and a little lady came to me and said, Pastor, I hope you'll receive this, but I've been praying. I believe the Lord has showed me that your father has come to him. Though he's not come according to tradition or different ways, but I believe he's in his own heart. He's come to God and made things right. And so, of course, I wanted to hear that. And I was thrilled with it, but I shared it with my sister back in Minnesota. And I said, you know, Diane, because all of us kids have been praying for Dad for years, and I shared it. She said, nope, he didn't come. If he'd have come, I'd know it, I'd see a difference, and I didn't see no difference. Well, excuse me that you misjudge. How many know I could get heavy human thoughts? I said, Don, I don't want to argue with you. I'm just telling you what I believe. So one of those kind you just kind of hang up and blah, 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 blah. She called me about 2 days later and said, Dennis, wow, I had a dream last night. Now, Diane doesn't know anything about the dreams that I had about the whale and the fishing. She said, I had a dream last night, and I know it was from the Lord. She said this whale had beached itself on this big, huge river. She described my dream. And she said this whale beached itself, and I was running up with my friends. She's not one of these, you know, animal-type people, but she said, I was pushing that whale back out and wanted to save the whale. You know, and she said, God spoke to me right there and said, leave the whale where it's at. The whale is your father. I have brought him in, and you won't accept it. And you're trying to shove him back out and bring him in the way you want. No, I brought him in. There wasn't a hook and line and sinker big enough to bring my daddy in. God brought him in. How many know there's some people, God just does it. He uses the prayers of others, but God did it. And as she's telling me, I'm starting to weep and get all shook up inside. Because I said, Diane, you don't know anything about my dreams, do you? She said, no. And when I told her, and oh yes, the dark saying is made clear. And it was wonderful. I've had another series of things that have happened in my life. I'm asking for your prayers. I shared this about 8 years ago when I was here. Does anybody remember the story of the penny? I imagine you forget all my sermons, don't you? Here is what happened 8 years ago. When I told it didn't happen 8 years ago. It happened about 10 years ago. I am in Phoenix, Arizona. We had our business. We had three locations in the malls. As I am walking in, I'm going down a sidewalk. It's about 10 feet wide. It turns left and it goes in to the back door into a back entrance to our place of business. And then you go down a hallway and there was the business. As I'm going down this sidewalk, it's interesting, you'd mentioned Brother Leroy this morning as a little bit of confirmation. I'm going down the sidewalk, it turns left, but as I'm going, I see in Arizona, it's just hotter than Hades there. And they don't use grass for landscaping, they use red little gravel, pebbles. In fact, my mother had to have her lawn tore up because no water, so she got something. But as I turn to go right in the corner, in those rocks, I see a penny. Well, I'm as tight as can be. No. I've always picked up pennies. Just been a thing. But as I passed it and saw the penny and kept walking, I thought, hey, you don't let pennies get by. So I backed up, and it's gone. The penny is gone. And I thought, I know I saw a penny. And I get down on my hands and knees looking for this penny. Oh, you're really hurting, Pastor, when you got to get down on your hands and knees. No, it was the idea, where'd that penny go? And I'm looking for it. And I remember somebody going by and said, did you lose something? No, I'm all right. I spent probably 5 minutes looking in that area for that penny. I want to show you how God was in this. I can't find it. I go into the office. How many ever get something you just can't shake? It just drives you nuts. I'm sitting in the office and I know I saw that penny. So I left the office about an hour later. I go back out. I'm looking for that penny. That happened 4 times where I left the office, went back out. In fact, I even told the receptionist. I said, you know, this is going to sound crazy, but I'm telling you, this is one of those dark sayings. I'm not saying they come all the time. But I told them what happened. They go, oh, yeah, probably thought I was really losing it. The 5th time, I went to the bank to make a deposit. When I'm coming back, I thought, I don't even want to go by that spot. Because I'm mad at it, and I know there was a penny. But as I came down that sidewalk, and I look, and there it is, as shiny as could be. And I thought, that cannot be. But there was the penny. I picked it up, and now I know, as I already had sensed, God is in this. And I'm not quite sure what he's trying to say, but I know he's saying something. I went, and all I could, and so that night when I left the office, and as I'm heading out, just before I got to the doors that would take me outside, right at the threshold, there was a penny. And I thought my receptionist was playing games with me and stuck that penny there to just have fun with me. So the next day I said, did you put that penny there in the threshold? No. I won't fire you. You're all right if you did, but did you put? No, I promise I did not. Oh, God, what are you trying to tell me? So the next day, I want to talk to a prophet that I know is very gifted, and you know he's gifted, Brother Leroy. So I called up Brother Leroy. I said, Brother Leroy, I have something I want to talk to you about. That was in the days when he wasn't mad at me. And he said, well, sure. He said, come on over. I'm at my office. So I drove, and he's not mad at me, so don't. He's different. And so I drove to his office. I walk upstairs. I park downstairs. He's got this building. He rents out the bottom part, and the upper part is where all the mail comes in, and they go through it, and he tries to read the letters. And as I get to the door, I open the door, and I look, and I see Leroy is standing about from here to those double doors. I see him holding an envelope, and in the envelope, he is putting in a coin. I couldn't tell exactly what it was, but I was pretty sure it was a penny. And I came up, "Hello, Brother Leroy, Dennis," and I said, "What did you just put in that envelope?" He said, "A penny." "Oh." I said, "Why would anybody put in a penny?" He said, "I don't know." I didn't tell him that's what I came to talk to him about. How many remember Samson had riddles, dark sayings? And so we go out to lunch. He said, "What is it you want to talk to me about?" I said, "Brother Leroy, I know this is unusual, but I'm convinced." So I shared with him what had happened. And now I can tell we're all just speculating. How many know there's a difference between speculation in the natural and hearing from God? And when you try to force things from the natural, don't do it. Not that I'm not opposed to counsel, etc., but even he didn't say he was hearing from God. He just said, "You know, that is, I don't know." There's another gentleman. So I dropped it. We drive back to his headquarters. We're in the parking lot. A man that was with us said, "I have to go get something out of my van." And I'm standing there with Leroy when Leroy said, "God is now talking to me." He said, "There is something about that penny." I said, "What?" He said, "God's telling me there's another penny right over here." And he takes off walking. Almost like he had my metal detector. I'm falling like a little dog. And I know that he didn't plant that penny there. He didn't even know what I was coming to talk to him about. But he gets and he stops over a round curb. With inside the curb are those red rocks. And he said, "God's telling me there's another penny right down here." I get down on my hands and knees, and I'm pulling. I said, "I don't see no penny." He said, "Well, it's here." And sure enough, I move a few rocks, and there's a penny standing up on end. I didn't know what to do. Mercy sakes alive. I said, "What's that mean?" He said, "I don't know, but I know it's God." I won't tell you the wild things that happened after that, but I believe that God has revealed to me what it means, but I'm not sure totally. But I've told you that to ask for your prayers, like I did with a whale story. You follow what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with getting someone to agree with you. How many will pray with me? And I'm not ready yet to spill the beans what I believe it means. But I lost it. And then I found it. And it was brighter the second time. Oh, we can speculate forever. But God will come to us. I'm not saying he'll come to you in that way, but he will come in ways when he's trying to talk to you. And he's wanting to pull out of you to seek him. It's one thing to get something. It's another thing to seek diligently what this meaneth. And in his time and his wisdom, he has a way of revealing to you. How many know he's faithful? It's so exciting to be a Christian. You'll get rich finding pennies. No, it's not my point. I love hearing from God. Do you love hearing from God? Where your heart is will be your time, will be your treasure. And I want to challenge you. Let's stand. I've asked you to pray with me on that. But these dark sayings, how often I hear people want to hear from God and want to hear from God and want to hear from God. And yes, that is an excellent desire to have. I haven't preached that yet. I haven't taught. I just kind of just shared my heart this morning with some scriptures and passages that I hope will catch your attention as Moses to turn aside to see what that is. And I hope this will cause you to pray more and to seek more and to seek with diligence and to seek earnestly and to seek with passion. I remember I was preaching last time up in Oregon, and right while I was preaching, the Lord said, I want you to kneel down and demonstrate to the people what it is to seek God. All right. And I told him, and I turned around and I began to just pray. And I wasn't doing it to try to show off. I was trying to do it to be obedient. But as I began to seek the Lord, I began to just get passionate. Oh, God! And I broke down and I was weeping and just seeking Him with all of my heart. And there was a little lady that was backslidden in that place that as I began to cry, it was as though it was deep calleth unto deep, and something stirred and broke loose inside of her. And she started weeping, and this old backslidden Pentecostal woman that just happened to come to church that day, something was reunited and rekindled, all because a little preacher decided to obey God and seek Him. And let it show. Oh, people, do you know the potential we have? If we'll just but seek the Lord with all our heart. If you have something you believe God has been dealing with you and you don't know what it means, would you come and stand down here? I want to pray with you. If you'd say, Pastor, I believe God's trying to say, and I don't know what it is, but I just want to agree with you. It's my return in thanks, and we're going to pray together. What we're doing is agreeing to seek the Lord diligently and to seek Him with earnestness, as Peter said the prophets did, to make sense of what God had said. Now, would the rest of us come? How many want to hear from God more than you do? Would you come? God will move as in proportion as we seek Him. Oh, may we never get stuck in our tradition and in our rituals, in our ways, where it's just routine and routine. May we have that passion in our heart that we cry, Abba, Father, and seek Him. And you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Lift your hands and let's call upon Him. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I join my heart with my brother. Oh God, break loose the fountains within. May the Holy Ghost bubble up, oh God, as we seek you. Rapapa satabakatai. Oh God, I pray for revelation and your will to be made known. Oh God, and to minister to your people and to cause them to seek you and to hear from you. For you're a God that does great and mighty things. You said, call upon me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that are dark secrets that you know not. Oh God, put faith in our heart, put zeal in our step, put passion in our cry. Oh, to seek you, and you'll show us great and mighty things. God, birth in this place people that will pray. Oh God, pray and seek your face. Pray and seek his face. Oh God, hallelujah. Lord, in Jesus' name, bless your people. Bless your people, oh God. Bless them, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh God, increase Frida, Lord. She hungers for you so much. God, just keep pouring in your Holy Spirit. Let the revelations continue to grow in Jesus' mighty name. Minister, I pray, by your power. God, talk to us, we pray. We desire to hear your voice. Oh God, you said, my sheep know my voice. Lord, let us speak. Let us cry out, oh God. Show, O Lord, touch, I pray. By your Holy Ghost, minister in Jesus' mighty name. Oh God, break up loose things, Lord. Let it come forth. Let your word come forth, Jesus. That thus saith the Lord, God is alive. Father, minister, oh God, let your Holy Ghost so touch my sister. Lord, let her continue to seek you. For Lord, she is not chasing something that is not real, but she is chasing and pursuing after, as David said, soul of my soul panteth after thee, O God. Use this life, use this vessel, O God, to be used in intercessory prayer as we pray for Andrew, as we pray for our children. O God, by your power and by your Holy Ghost, show yourself strong in Jesus' name. Touch Audrey, Lord, and touch heaven, I pray. And may the Holy Ghost, oh God, I pray, just Lord, break loose. Lord, oh God, we seek you and we bless your name. Oh God, touch Sherry, continue to use her, Lord, as she leads worship, oh Jesus. Continue to guide her by your Holy Ghost. Touch Marcia. Lord, touch my wife. Oh God, touch her, I pray, and let the Holy Ghost fall upon us afresh and anew. Oh God, show yourself strong. Hide not yourself from us as our heart diligently seeks you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, oh God. Yea, my sister, I say unto thee, that I have heard thy heart and thy faithfulness, and I will show myself in a way that is new unto thee. I will begin to quicken thy spirit in ways that thou rememberest when thou was younger, and the Lord will bring it forth and cause thee to experience his glory and his goodness, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God. Blessed be God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, may we seek your face. Hallelujah. Oh, God, show yourself strong, we pray. But may we show ourselves strong. May we, as prophets of old, earnestly and diligently seek you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, touch Brother Don, touch his body. Minister strength to him, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Oh God, we worship you, we glorify you. You're real, and we glorify you in all of your glory. Oh, may God be praised. May God be praised. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Touch our young people. Touch us, oh God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed Jesus.